Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Human Christian Vapor Psychic Hour. Well, today I guess we're talking more about, what are we talking about, Neil? Karma, how we're connected to one another from past lives. What was our topic specifically last time?
Well, we're talking about the impact of karma and what the difference is between past life karma and self-induced karma within a lifetime.
That's right.
And we can elaborate on that if we have time.
So we actually will have time. We don't have any callers, I don't think, unless 519 wants to speak with us. And they would, that caller would let us know by pressing 1, but they think they're just listening. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And you may follow us on social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, etc., etc., etc. Those accounts are found on our Blog Talk Radio profile. Okay, well, we had a caller on the last show, and she was talking about or questioning why she was in a relationship with the mother that she had. But what generally the idea is, we have a caller that came in, so we're going to get to 312 in just a moment. Generally, the idea is your family of origin are karmic characters in your life, because that's what you're born into.
To that extent, yes. It's somewhat fixed, very complicated, because there's this disbelief that we choose our parents and we choose the way things are set up when we come in, but that obviously it ignores the fact that the other
party doesn't have no choice in the matter.
We don't have a say about that. It's a complex system of energy wherein the individuals we're connected to at birth go back into a past life energy that even is more compounded in complexity by the fact that we come from different nationalities throughout past lives. So things shift and turn, and there's all sorts of combinations that are involved, given to the idea that some families are very separate in their personalities and they do diverse things. Sometimes so-called Christian families will have a lot of Chinese items in their house or Buddha items.
Right, because of their past life. Maybe a past life in China.
Right.
And so the past life merges with the current life, and there's this mixture of different cultural representations.
Even to the extent that a Jew and a Christian will marry. I mean, all of this, one child doesn't look like anybody in the family. There's adoptions. All of this is part of the complexity, the deeper past web of intricate relationships and past lives that come in, and each separate energy holds its own pocket of karma. So in that respect,
sorry, I'm cleaning my glasses, I cannot see.
In that respect,
spraying cleaner onto a cloth,
we can also examine why there's such sometimes diverse energies within a family, even to the matters of incest or brutality. Children care, children incest, father, daughter, whatever it may be, or even to the point of sheer brutality.
So in that case, a person who might be the victim in that situation may feel that they're in the wrong family. However, it's not necessarily the wrong family, but they're in the family as a result of past life karma.
Yeah,
that's placed
them there.
There's a tie there,
and the drama is worked out through time and space in terms of what the consequences or outcome will be. But even if we look at a mother who has a child who gets a violent boyfriend, and that boyfriend ends up killing the child in some abusive situation, which is common, not common, but it occurs, that woman opened up the door for that. Now, that's karma. That's a karmic situation. Now, we're not suggesting that that we can't just look at the present stage and say, look, what are you talking about, karma and past lives? This is what's happening. That stage is real. We're just
trying to
another
get
layer
a,
of
yeah,
interpretation.
Deeper interpretation.
It doesn't deviate, exchange, alter anything that's going on the physical stage. And it doesn't come in to excuse any behavior. It comes in to dynamically expose the depth of where some of this stuff is coming from. And it's a creative interpretation. It doesn't have to be considered legitimately. But in terms of it being creative, well, then there's an interpretation. Can creativity become something that's real? And that's obviously our standpoint here.
In the case of our caller that had the meditation, said, well, another soul was supposed to come in, but then I was put in her place. The soul's place. I guess there's no gender attachment to the soul. But in that case, whatever information she was getting, I'm not sure. And to validate her meditation, perhaps she was picking up on another soul that has karma with her mother that may come in another lifetime. But just because a soul has karma with another soul doesn't mean that soul doesn't have karma with multiple other souls. So whether or not that caller came in or didn't in that specific lifetime, there would have had to be a resolution in a preceding lifetime if that caller didn't join with that person, because the karma is clearly unresolved. I mean, there's evident in the dialogue.
I don't know how much it helps.
And the number system.
I don't know how much it helps to resolve issues. You have to kind of get into the fabric of mind that you're trying to understand, maybe if you're open to the idea of where some of this stuff comes in and why it happens. Resting on the premise that we are a continuation of energies from past lives, all wrapped up into a very concentrated form of energy, which is our natural bodies that we have in this lifetime. But we are composed of different aspects of other journeys through time and space. Now, for those that don't believe that, we can look at the other side of the coin and suggest, well, if there's a soul and the soul leaves the body upon death and the soul is joined in spirit, well, then there's got to be some facet of continuation. Now, some strict fundamentalists and obviously just pure religious people or people of some certain sound of mind and body will say, well, that's after the fact. We start here. This is our beginning. That's where we have an existential philosophical debate, which will never end in any secure sense of singularity. There never will be that. There's just a belief pattern in terms of, is there a possibility that our souls have come from another origin and just wasn't placed here initially for the first time? There's a lot of evidence out there, however deemed imaginative, there's a lot of evidence out there that would suggest something's been going on before we got here. Something has had to happen. And if we look at the, if we look biblically at the seed of Adam and Eve, if that, if you want to call it that, Adam and Eve, these nouns are these two first human beings on the planet. We have to consider that we are carrying the DNA of those two individuals, and that through the course of time, we're all part of a mass humanity because of the separation of energies. Now, I'm not so sure about the severe, strict interpretation of Adam and Eve because there's so many variations in nationalities and countries and whatnot that it's hard to really say what went on. No one was there. It's just a biblical interpretation and maybe even symbolic. But when you look at the diversity, if we are here on a singular position of energy, and this is the only time we come here, how the hell did we get so many nationalities? Where did that come from? What, space invaders drop off a lot of different energy forms?
Didn't that happen
people?
At the Tower of Babel where all the languages got...
Well, that was way after.
Yeah.
That was way
true.
After.
But it wasn't as diverse. It wasn't as diverse as it is now. I mean,
well,
the population.
That was God's... They're trying to build a tower to heaven, and God's, that was the interpretation that you're going to suffer for this, and you're going to be left in a confusion
divided,
of language,
right?
So that there will never be a consensus on anything, and that's probably the first one. Well, the first position of existentialism was when we were so-called barred from the garden. That's when we became separated from God, so to speak. And then through the process of time, it evolved and evolved and evolved. One of the more famous plays, Waiting for Godot. Godot is very famous. There was an article in the paper today about the birth of the so-called birth of existentialism, being French, Camus, but it was Kierkegaard. There were people before that started to suggest the separation from God, as much as the debate in the biblical text that can man be separated from God, even in the book of Job, where there was a contest between God and the devil, separating the psyche of a man from his creator, as opposed to the very existential position of Christ being on the cross and asking if God has abandoned him. We all carry this seed that there is something going on behind the scenes. And that's what's most important to our discussion.
Yeah, so we can continue this, but we've got to get to calls now. We've got two people waiting here, but we've got to take three with you first.
I was liking to press the button.
That is who raised his or her hand first. Who is this, please?
Okay, be quiet.
Are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi. My name's Karen. I'm calling from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
I had a question. I'm just curious. I have like really bad luck today. I had two appointments, two interviews for jobs, and it just one of them they said that I had the time wrong, and so they're supposed to get back with me. But I could have sworn I had the right time. I think they put someone else in my spot. And then this other one I have this afternoon, but it's only for a couple days, and I'm looking for work frantically. Do you see any other jobs coming through? I've been sending. I have another interview on Monday too.
So, can we get your birthday, Karen? I know you've called before. I don't remember your birthday.
Sure, it's 3/31/71.
Okay, and so for the job that you had the interview, that you did you miss an interview and then show up late?
Well, no. They had sent me an email saying that I was supposed to be there at 12, and then they called me and they said, "Where are you? You're supposed to be here at 11." And I was like,
"Right, so that's
what?"
The answer is yes. Yes, you were late. Not that you were late necessarily, but that's how it played out. Whether or not they were telling the truth is not the point. But it wasn't like you were late for the interview, according to them.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And then the other job interview is today.
Yes, at 2. But that's only for a couple of days. I'm just filling in. I'm working with another agency, and they said it's Christmas time. We really don't have anything, but you can try to see if you can get this interview to fill in for someone that's going on Christmas vacation for a couple of days, like 3 days or something. So that's today at 2.
Are you collecting unemployment or anything while you're looking for work?
No.
Why? Are you ineligible?
I'm ineligible because I worked a 1099 job before, and that job will not, that job will not start up again. If that's a contract job, that particular project won't start up until January of 2020. And they said, I'm welcome to come back.
Okay, so you're going to have work as an independent contractor in January, but you need something in the interim.
Correct. Correct.
And you're not able to collect unemployment because, I don't know, you can't collect unemployment when you're self-employed?
Correct. Correct, because the project ended. Yeah, it's we're not really employed with them. We just, it's like a 1099 where the project ends. And then we just resume, and like we were off for like a month or 2 months, like it ended in November, and now and then we go back in January.
Wouldn't you be able to collect from the last job that you had that you were employed at? I mean, you pay into unemployment. It's not like you're just taking money from nowhere. I mean, you pay into the unemployment system, so you're collecting, you know, rightfully yours.
Yeah, the other job that I was at, I wasn't there for 3 months. I think you have to be there for a certain time.
Okay.
I've kind of been temping here and there. Yeah.
Okay, so the other, so you have the interview today. What time?
That's at 2 o'clock.
Two, I said two. Did you hear me say two? So 2 o'clock, which is Chicago time, which is noon our time.
Yeah.
And what was the result with the other job, the one that you, quote, missed the interview for?
That one was for a biotech, a medical company, like customer service.
Yeah. And are they going to let you talk to them again, or are you just out of luck?
They said they would get back to me, but when I, they said, well, you can come at, they said that there was somebody that already had the noon appointment, and they said, well, you can just come at 1 o'clock. And then I said, well, I can't, I have another appointment. And so the lady became very upset. And she said, I'll just get back to you. And so that's kind of like where it was left off.
I might have taken that 1 o'clock appointment and said, and called the other job and said, since it was only for a few days, I would maybe have said, could you, there was a mix up with another job. Is it possible to move my appointment later in the afternoon? And also, I would get in touch with the employment agency, scheduled these interviews for you, or you got them, not scheduled necessarily, but you got these job opportunities through an employment agency?
Correct.
I would contact the employment agency right away and say, this is what happened. I'm very upset because, you know, I need work. And maybe they would act as a go-between. I don't know, Neil, you might have some.
Well, I'm a little confused. She's getting permanent work in January, and she's worried about this gap.
It's not permanent, really. It's
both
temporary.
They're contract work.
It's contract, but won't it conflict with any team she gets now? She's going to run into a problem.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just looking for work. If somebody calls me, I will go with them. But this
and
is
not do the contract work in January.
Correct.
If you get a permanent position, you're going to keep the permanent position.
Correct. But this interview that I'm going to, the one at 2 o'clock today, that's only for like 3 days. That was the best that they could find for me at another agency.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, your main concern is to find something permanent. You're looking for permanent work.
Yeah.
And you're running into some trouble. And there was a miscommunication about the time zone, and the woman became just frustrated with you and deemed you to be a problem. And she has other options, so she doesn't want to deal with you. You can call her. Is that for a permanent position, that one?
It was temp to perm.
Temp to perm. Well, it may be Karen, in the long run, that's not where you're meant to go.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
And so
I kind of think so too.
I think there's something else that's going to have a permanent basis to it. And so I probably wouldn't bother with the 11, 12 o'clock option. I wouldn't really concentrate on anything that you've got in store right now on the calendar.
Okay.
You need to find permanent work. Now, I want to ask you something on the side, a side question. Where in your life is there a connection to machinery or a machinist?
Yes, I used to work in a garage in transportation where there were machinery. Yeah, I used to have a really big job, like machinery. I used to work with techs, vehicles.
Okay.
I used to work in that field. Yeah.
Got it. So the energy of what we're picking up on leads to that. And there must be one of two reasons why. One is just to plug into you psychically to get some firm foundation about how to read you with a validation in mind. And the other one could be a suggestion that's the field you should be looking towards, or some related field like that, where there's still going to be some sense of a permanent position.
Do you want to do work in that field again, or are you?
I've tried getting back into that field, and I haven't had any luck. Monday I have a substitute teacher interview as well, phone interview.
Have you taught at all?
I'm sorry?
Have you done any teaching?
No. I worked with large groups.
No,
it's going to be tough because they're going to be looking for people that have experience. What kind of teaching is it? Like high school or?
It's grammar school and high school.
Grammar and high school. And what subject would you be teaching? I mean, grammar school obviously is general. Do you teach any subject?
Yeah, just general. Yeah, they haven't told me yet. That would be on Monday. That's another interview I have.
Okay, let's look at a parameter here. Where, in terms of a salary, $60,000, do you want above, below, or on that mark?
I used to make at that one level, I used to make like in the 70 to 80,000. But since I left that company, I've been in like maybe I would say like between the 30 and 40 when I do work.
Okay,
yeah.
So here's the premise. Revisit that field we suggested psychically. You haven't found anything yet. Revisit it, and we're going to put out a line of prediction. Well, a line of hope that it's going to be somewhere close to 60.
Okay.
Okay, and then just get back to us. That's all we can do for you right now. I
know she's been struggling with looking for work for quite a while, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Let me ask another question. Do you have any old fur coats or animal skin coats or anything in your closets?
Yes. A couple of those. I did throw a couple of those away.
No.
They were like really old.
Right. Get rid of the other ones. I don't feel it's weird. And when you do a reading and this stuff goes on, and who knows? We don't have time to examine why things come up psychically, but when they do, you have to kind of trust it. So I'd either give those animal coats away or get rid of them. I mean, the animal's already dead. What can you do? But I don't like the energy. I don't like the energy of them in your home. And since we picked up on it, on two now significant psychic points, I would follow through on those directions.
Okay, that I can do. Because I threw some old, like I had scarves. I had like a lot of scarves, and I dumped a lot of those out.
You animal scarves?
Yes. Yeah, I had like a lot of fur pieces, like hats and like fur pieces. And so I dumped those out.
Yeah, okay. Well, if I were you, Karen, I would release a different kind of consciousness about the animal world. I don't know where you are with animals, and I'm not trying to advocate anything. It's a personal read on you. So there's got to be some kind of attitude you need to revisit in your mind about your connection to animals. And I'm talking about wild animals, not your dogs or cats.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know,
I can go through the house.
You know, these things karmically, I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe you were a trapper in a past life. Maybe you abused, maybe who knows what you did? I don't know.
Okay.
But coming up. So you gotta think about that, and it's only for your benefit. It's not gonna hurt.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Karen.
Thank
good
you.
Luck.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, Jennifer has called us back. She must have something to say. Hi.
Hi. You know it's Jennifer. I like what you said about those fur coats, though, because someone told me that if you've got old furniture in your house, like antiques, sometimes it just attracts the energy, and then it could be throwing things off for you.
Well, I mean, it just depends. I think it's really, I don't think everyone that has antiques is going to have a problem necessarily, but sometimes certain articles can hold energy, especially if they were owned by a previous person. So it's something that needs to be looked into. I think specifically with the animal furs is like, because the fact that it's some barbaric.
Some old pieces. It all depends, Jennifer. Some old pieces or old clothing, vintage clothes. I mean, that's fine. It all depends on the specific energy. Everything has a different molecular read to it. And you have to kind of know what the energy has brought out, because it puts out an energy. There's even auras around objects, because there's a molecular structure in it. There's atoms moving around and everything. So, it all depends. But to make a general statement, clean out, someone says, I'm looking at your astrological, clean out your closet. What? I don't know where they're coming from. It's a specific thing. It doesn't go by astrology. It goes by a specific individual energy that may be positive or negative. You don't know. But then you have to ask a good psychic or a good intuitive person specifically what needs to be done.
Okay, but did you have a question, Jennifer?
Yeah, when we were talking about karma the other day, so and then you, very enlightening about the karma with my mother and myself, which I knew was there, but and I think it's always been lifetime after lifetime of competition. So, and I'm trying to get a handle on it, and I think I've worked on it quite a bit this lifetime. But when you mentioned when people come in, my one son, he would, before he was even old enough to talk, he would grab in his left hand a crayon and write from right to left. And it was a language I didn't know, but he would write all these pages and draw these pictures over and like sheets and sheets and sheets and sheets and sheets.
What age was he when he would do this?
He was probably between 1.5 and 2.
Wow. I always find that fascinating when kids come in with this ability or knowledge of past lives. Roma, we just watched that mm-hmm. kid had that, was saying, I remember when I was older.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, getting him to do anything now would be impossible. But it's like it completely left him. So it's interesting. Like, is there? I don't know. The fact that he showed it in this lifetime, and someone did tell me, I had a reading like years ago. Someone in California, they said, his past life was a Tibetan scholar, and then I didn't really think anything of it. But then I looked into it, and I went, oh yeah, they do write from right to left. So that made a lot of sense.
Yeah, Jennifer, the Hebrew language is right to left.
And so is Arabic, isn't it?
Yeah. And so there's something perhaps in that region where he's picking up on some things, aside from the fact that he's severely dyslexic.
Well, he was only 2.
I don't know. But, or he's cockeyed or something, or he's just a rebel, also when you're looking at that, you're looking at the dominance of the left hemisphere of the brain, which controls the right side. So if he's going right to left, there could be also a loose interpretation that he is a mystic, a psychic. It could be something in regard to the dominance of the left hemisphere of the brain. I mean, the right, it would be the left hand.
Yeah, because he's left-handed,
But he's left-handed?
That would be right.
Yeah.
Right to the left.
Yeah,
left
it would be,
the
if
right.
I give you his birthday, would you know?
Well, it would, his right hemisphere, you can give
left
the birthday.
Left hemisphere goes to right side.
Right, so he's a left-handed, that would be right to left.
I'm saying individually in the interpretation, they may have something to do with his left hemisphere of his brain. I'm not sure yet. Or it could even be his right.
But he's light. But he's left-handed.
Birthday? I know he's left-handed.
Okay.
So,
so that's right hemisphere.
There's some mysticism involved in this.
What's his birth date, Jennifer?
September 6, 2004.
Yeah.
15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. He's a 3. You guys are aligned together.
Yeah, 21-3, and he, you. Which has a 7 in it.
You two become his month. He holds your master number in his day and his accumulation of his year. She's a 24-6. Do you have a birthday for 370? She's 24-6. He holds your karmic number, actually, 2-4 in his year.
Yeah, but see, in his, what's going on, the 9 energy in the month is a very intense energy. It suggests a lot of past lives.
And you hold his master number in your day, 3-6. It's interesting.
Yeah. And then the 6
nine,
is the third
four,
eye.
Become
and
his karmic number.
21 equals 3 is actually a mystical number because 3 is
the Trinity.
Divisible by 7. So 21 is divisible 3 by 7.
7.
So there's this spiritual energy. He's got a past life content. You might.
Everybody has a past life content.
This right to left.
Right.
It's
so right to left.
Life, it's a past life connection to a probably something scholarly or something that he had written or he was involved in a very ancient time. So what you could do is, as he gets older, you might want to have him look at.
He's 15 years old.
He's 15.
Yeah, in fact, which is his accumulation of his month and day.
What's
so
he into right now?
That's kind of significant.
Four.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
You can grow out of it. The intensity of the childhood energy can be such that you grow out of it. But there's still resources in his brain that can provide some revisiting of a past life. He's going into sports, so there's some sort of competitive warrior zone. Sports is basically a war zone energy. It's very competitive, it's very warlike, but it's civilized in some respects. But ancient sports could have resulted in death. We know that. And even now, death by accident or injury, not intentional. But the attitude that he's in there provides, it's sort of like Muhammad or something, messenger of God, the warrior messenger of God type thing. But if how does he do academically?
He didn't do very well. I'm sorry, I'm hearing an echo. I'm hearing my voice on your thing.
No, I don't. We don't hear an echo, but maybe it's your phone. Yeah. Are you on speaker?
Nope, I'm on a regular phone. Oh, that's that. So he used to do he was always the best reader at school, and then subsequently he's given up reading, but he was reading at a very high level, and he did as little as he possibly could. But now that he's in high school, he knows that it actually counts for something, his grades, to go on to university. So now he's getting straight A's.
That's
you have a special kid. Keep an eye on him. Does he have and aside from sports, what's his other interest?
YouTube?
No, I mean, academically, if he's getting A's, what are, in school, what subjects is he most interested in? Getting into a more academic.
Well, it's funny. He's really into his home ec class, so he likes cooking.
Really?
But his math scores are very good.
Well, you got to keep an eye on him. I don't know. What's your question about him? I mean,
she kind of answered it.
There's a past life going on. I don't know.
Well,
I'm
wondering if the past life ever comes back into the current life. Like, it got visited, but then it took off.
No, yeah.
Well, they intersect.
It can come back in tremendously. It's in various degrees of what the purpose is and how much karma they got to get through. If he has a strong past life energy, but he has karma to get through in some kind of relationship thing, that can take predominance. It all depends on the cultivation and the evolving nature of the past life journeys and how they accumulate into one specific lifetime. If he had another lifetime where he committed great sins and did bad things on a very low level of energy, he might having to be coping with those things. There's a lot of powerful people who fall into crime zones. You know, we have this great diversity of energies within a single human being. We have human beings are the great contradiction of existence. Animals usually aren't. It's the human being that presents the contradiction. And we have a contradiction because of the way our brains evolved as they went to the frontal lobe. And that frontal lobe and the backward lobe is a battle of brain chemistry in and of itself. We have the reptilian brain and we've got the homo sapien brain.
Homo
sapien brain. So we've got these two elements. And the more we get into it, I mean, we don't really have time to discuss these things in
great
in
depth.
Full volume. But the more we get into it, the more we begin to analyze why we come in with such a complex contradiction of energies. And obviously, you know, your son is just as much a complexity as any other human being on the planet, relatively speaking.
What about your other son? Real quick, we're going to get the birth date and then we have to close. But what's your other son's birth date, Jennifer?
Well, I have two other ones.
You want
the youngest one or the oldest one? Yeah.
But just give both because, I mean, it's, you know, getting all their birth dates.
02/28/2000.
You don't want to put a zero in there. It's 1/2/2000. If you don't need a zero, you don't want to add it. 3/5. He's a 5 because it's a negative.
Think of it, you know, if you put a zero in multiplication and you multiply a zero to a number, what happens?
Zero.
Yeah. Why put a zero in there if you don't need it? Especially in the front.
Oh.
You know, you're obliviating the whole energy,
of the number. Okay, so now that we have that squared away, of course,
and the other one is
a 10. Obviously, there is a zero, but okay, go ahead.
The other one's a 9/9/2005.
Gosh, the two are close together in age.
My
goodness.
Yeah.
9/9/2005.
No, the other one.
What do you mean? What other one?
The first one she just said.
1/2/2000. So he's a 5, really simple. And then 18/19/20, 5/7. What? Oh, interesting. So he's a 7. The other one's a 3 and a 5. 15.
They all together become an 8.
The four of them, right? No.
Yeah. Well, no, all the kids. 15, so all the three kids become an 8.
Wait, 7. I'm not getting an 8. What, did I add something wrong?
27. Is it January 2nd?
January 2nd.
February 28th.
5/7. And
February
3.
28th. What?
Oh.
Yeah. I said 2/28.
Oh, did you hear? Oh, I heard a zero. Did you hear a zero?
I did say 02/28/2000.
Oh, I think that's where our confusion is. Yeah. So let's get it over again because we have the wrong birth date because of that. All that. Okay, so 2/28/2000 is the first one you said. Is that what you have, Neil?
Yep.
12, 13, 14. Well, he's 2/28.
I have 9/6/2004.
No, that's right.
That's the
9/6/2004.
Yeah.
Then 2/28/2000 is the second, which I didn't you have 1/2?
Yeah. Well, you told me.
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard. So still, interestingly enough, it still comes out to the same master number via a different karmic number, 14.
5.
And then,
7, 12.
So they.
It's a 15. They all together become 15,
right.
6.
I was.
12, yeah.
15. It's still what I was coming. 15, 6, which is your master number. They all become a 6,
mine's
and then
6,
together
yeah.
you become a 3, which is the master number of the first son. You told us.
Well,
so,
it's one
you know,
big happy family of diversity. You know, I don't know. You have some interesting things going on there. But I don't know if we answered your question.
Yeah, you did. You know, I would be interested later on to see if he is interested in, you know, any sort of scholarly pursuits or even Asian culture. That would be interesting to see as well.
Oh,
but at this point, I don't see any of that.
Okay,
No,
they can outgrow it. They can outgrow it. But if I were you, does he have a globe? Do you have a globe in the house?
We used to. I don't think we do anymore.
All I can say is buy a globe.
Okay.
I don't know what's going to happen. But
that might
inspire
step. Him.
I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe he'll make it into a basketball. I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, that would be most likely. I probably did have one, and that's probably what he did with it.
I mean, I think it must be so much harder to raise children these days with all the distractions, iPhones and internet. You said he's a big fan of YouTube. So getting them interested in things beyond watching, what's on the internet or playing with their phone or playing games. No.
Mm-mm. I don't know. Does he have any influence with his father?
They have running in common. They both enjoy running. So any sort of athleticism would be from him.
Well, get him the book
dad.
On the Zen of running.
Oh, he won't read it. He doesn't like reading unless it's on YouTube or the internet.
Well, then hit him on the head and tell him he has to read.
Well, maybe introduce some videos about Asian culture.
15-year-olds, they're brats. They have their own agenda, and it's a hard place to start to adjust. I guess you may have to wait organically for something to happen,
They're good. They're good kids. They don't get in trouble. They play sports. They have, want to have jobs or have jobs. They don't give me any problems. So.
Well, that's good. That's a positive report. A lot of people aren't in that situation with teenagers. They have many more challenges. So you're lucky in that regard. Okay, Jennifer.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Okay.
We're out of time.
No, we're not out of time. We're
I thought you said we only have a few minutes left.
No, I just said with her.
Oh, where are we right now?
We have about 10 minutes so we can continue our little discussion.
About the complexity of karma.
About the complexity of karma.
How we come in with karma. I mean, we were saying in the last show that it's interesting to see what stage you are initially when you come in. As soon as you get old enough to look back with some intelligence, you could start to think, okay, here's my dad, here's my mom, this is my upbringing, this is what happened. And from there, you can start to piece together some attitude of a past life, perhaps, if you want to go in that place.
Well, and then obviously as one ages, there's going to be different karmic elements that come in throughout the lifetime. So even once a person has passed their karmic age, it doesn't mean that there aren't karmic relationships that
will be encountered. No, because essentially the young developing brain is filled with curiosity, and it has a discipline of learning and learning the language, learning the motor skills, learning how to apply mathematics and everything else. It's learning. Then it's influenced by it develops into social circles with friends and how that influences. So we have a general consensus that the beginning of life is composed basically of the brain's need to learn, to absorb energy in order to survive, in order to be skillful and all that. The influences that impact that will be sometimes emotional. The natural flow of our energy isn't that we're suddenly all supposed to be sexually abused or emotionally abused or moved around a lot. That could be nomadic. But those are the extraordinary parts of the karma of past lives. So when you start to begin to analyze a human being's early years, you look at what's naturally composed that the brain needs in order to learn. And then you look at the additives, what's going on aside from that. What are the things that are happening that branch off into something that might deem to be a little bit more mysterious in context, like a child riding from right to left, or a kid, a four-year-old in his backyard building a rocket ship.
Or, someone coming in with, great musical ability, perfect pitch at the age of three.
Right. This is where the mystery comes in, and where you start to analyze where parents would usually say, I don't know where it's coming from. He's just an odd kid. Well, it's coming from somewhere. Now, the brain has the right to be creative. And the brain has
and it's independently created on its own without a past life.
Without a past life.
Obviously, people are going to come in with certain abilities and deficits in certain areas.
Right.
However, I mean, then you connect it to the family that you come into and who you're like in the family. And
like
that
family.
Ties it back into that karma, karmic past life where this, you know, thread of energy emerges from.
Right. I mean,
or who you're unlike.
When I was
course,
a kid, I spent about a year trying to develop flubber in my garage.
What?
Because I had seen the absent-minded professor, and I wanted to develop flubber and bounce 40 feet into the air. And I was taking the rubber out of golf balls and putting chemicals
okay,
into it and trying to jump around and create flubber. Well, that doesn't mean that I have a past life, absent-minded professor life, or I was Fred McMurray in another lifetime. What it means is I saw a movie and I was influenced by
the movie.
And I tried to create that journey, you know. I put a towel around my neck and I thought I was Superman. Doesn't mean I was George Reeves or I came from the planet Krypton or something. It just means that I was influenced by creative art.
But also how you trace someone's karma, for instance, if there is a predominant theme that emerges in the beginning of life and it stays with that person throughout a lifetime, you can assume that it came in from
yeah,
a past life, you know, an ability like
right,
being a musician, for instance,
being a musician,
obviously, and having a strong, you know, attachment or music having a strong influence shaping someone's life, younger years, career.
Different.
That's intense.
I often
past
allude
life
to the story of I went to a woman's house because she wanted me to meet her child, and I walked in.
I
mentioned that he was in the Napoleonic Wars, and she said, "That does it. I want you to come here and see meet my child." I didn't know what to expect. I went there, and I went into the kid's bedroom, and he had set up with little metal soldiers, hundreds of battalions and regiments of depicting a sound, systematic, orchestrated Napoleonic war. And he was standing there in the middle of this war, just kind of looking at all these metal toys. And now that's not natural. That's not natural. The kid was only about four. And I said, "Has he seen any movies?" No, nothing. And don't think that he has seen something that I don't know about. Nothing. He just started doing this. And I said, "Well, this is past life.
It would be interesting. Oh, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Not only that, but when he opened his mouth to say hello to me, he spoke in French. I'm used to this. I was an oddball child too. But still, you know, as you grow up and you meet these kids in terms of this energy, like in The Sixth Sense, Bruce Willis meeting that kid, you know, they both have this kind of karmic connection, even though he was dead and a ghost. It still activates a certain creative energy in the mind, at least in my mind, that past lives are soundly real. And something's going on that we don't know what it is, but something's going on, Mr. Jones.
It would be really interesting to know where that kid is now. It's someone that isn't currently in contact, but I wonder what has happened in that child's life. How long ago is it?
Oh, that was back in the early 90s.
So he is grown up now.
Yeah,
he's interested
grown up now.
To,
I don't know.
It'd be interesting.
I wonder,
we probably could find out if he knew his last name.
Yeah, I'd have to
probably do a little research.
I'd have to do some research on that. But, you know, I think there are dramatic episodes in our lifetime that we can't understand. And there's something going on here. I was alluding to the Bob Dylan song on Mr. Jones. There's something going on. We don't know what it is. We can't explain it. But yet, in the attitude of the soul, we might be able to dive in and find an oyster. We might be able to dive in find some pearl of recognition that we just didn't start here. We had to come from somewhere. And who knows where this dust came from. We're cosmic in nature. We have an astral body. Who knows where that came from and what the energies is. And as we go deeper into the analysis of the soul, we might have come from other planets. other galaxies? We don't know. We really don't know. We've condensed it into an act of creation that God created the earth, and we're ascribed and regimented to believe that, and it's heresy not to believe it, but we don't know. There are many rooms in my father's mansion. What the hell is he talking about? You know, it's all up to interpretation. So when we get into the discussion of the soul and karma, which is karma is a collection of experiences that have produced results that are not, that have not accumulated into a sheer resolution. There's nothing that has resolved the energy. So this karma is something we collect, and every hair on your head will be counted. Every lifetime will be accounted.
You're scaring me.
Whenever I get my hair cut, which is not very often.
I hope the hairdresser isn't the one counting the hair.
No, I often tell her, you're getting rid of my past lives. Thank you. And I see them brushed into the floor. But but it is a true element. And, you know, with that in mind, we read a hair. We can take a hair. We can read a hair. Why not read a life? Why not read a soul? So it opens up a kind of a just an introduction to the idea of what is karma, where does it come from, where does it start? And I don't believe it starts in this lifetime.
And of course, then we get into the birth date numbers, the code that's assigned to each individual in any given lifetime and what data those numbers hold, and so much beyond a profile of a personality, you know, likes and dislikes. There's so much data in a number, and it's so unique to the individual. You know, a 9 is not the same 9 as it is to, you know, one person as opposed to another. So
diversity of all objects and things. We try to make our life comfortable by saying the singularity, but it's a delusion. There is singularity, but there's complexity in singularity. And we cannot potentially make everything singular, even though there is a level of intelligence that can activate a singular aspect, and we try to reduce it to a singularity. And there is true definitions of what singularity is, but in the wide scheme of the mind, singularity is hardly realistic. It's complex.
At least on this planet.
It's complex.
At least on this planet. Okay, so we are out of time. We will be stumbling over our words next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye. Is that right? Yeah.